greatest day in history. Death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. Wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Oh, happy day, happy day. You have washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever. Stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face. I'm yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy, perfect peace, earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Oh, happy day. Happy day, you have washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Oh, happy day, happy day. You have washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever. What a glorious way that you have saved me. Oh, what a glorious day. What a glorious name. Hey, yeah. Oh, happy day, happy day. You have washed my sins away. Oh, happy day, happy day. Happy day, you have washed my sins away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. Never be the same.
Amen. Amen. One thing about it, when it's just one instrument, you hear all the, the mistakes. That's great. I need to take this off. It's burning up. I always said that we are transparent worship. Well, we are. You know, we want our hearts to be transparent to the Lord, and our gifts and our talents transparent to the Lord. We have a new year to look forward to. Last year may have been rocky or stormy, but God is on the throne. He'll always see us through the storm, right? In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when the sails are torn. Your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm, in the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guide my soul. You alone are the anchor when the sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. When the solid ground is falling down from underneath my feet,
Between the black skies and my red eyes, I can barely see. When I realize I've been sold out by my friends and my family, I can feel the rain reminding me. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. When my hopes and dreams are far from me and I'm running out of faith, I see the future I picture slowly fade away. When the tears and pain and heartache are pouring down my face, I find my peace in Jesus' name. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you got my soul. You alone are the anchor, my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm.
You're never gonna let me down. holding on.
When the night is holding on to me,
God is holding on.
You are good,
good.
Oh, you are good,
good.
Oh, you are good,
good. Good. Oh. God is whole and all. When the night is whole and all to me, God is whole and all. You are
stop you right there. How many of you want to receive the blessing of the Lord? Raise your hand. Okay, when we sing these next words, I want your hands lifted up to receive the blessing that God has for us. Let's start with amen.
You and you're coming, and you're going, and you're weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, He is for you, in the morning, in the evening, and you're coming, and you're going, and you're weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, 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 He is for you. He's for you, He's for you, He's for you. Amen, 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 amen. Shine upon you, be gracious to you. Lord, turn His face toward you and give you
peace. Just sang four simple words that I think far too often we forget. He is for us. He has saved us. He loves us. He forgives us. He nurtures us. He provides for us. He heals us. He speaks to us. He is for us. Oh, Father God, we are so incredibly grateful. So grateful that you left your heavenly home, that you came to this earth, that you walked and lived as a man, that you hung on that cross, that you died and rose again, all for us. What an incredible gift. What an incredible blessing. If this life gives us nothing else, we have everything we need in you. God, we thank you and we praise you this January 1st, this brand new year. Lord, we stand here this morning and we commit this year to you. Lord, what an incredible way to start out in church, in your presence, in your house, worshiping you, lifting up your... What a way to start out the new year. God, we commit this year to you, that your will would be done, that you would use us. God, that you would give us a new fire, a new boldness, a new desire within to be everything you have called us to be. To be the church, to be the family, to be the individuals you have designed us to be. You long for us to be. God, I pray that we would willingly take up that torch and run. Run like we've never run before. Live like we've never lived before. Be the light in this world, brighter than we've ever been before. God, be glorified. God, be glorified in this year. Can you believe it's January 1st? Can you believe it's a time to start all over again as far as the year is concerned? It's hard for me to believe that it's here again. Christmas was just a week ago, and it feels like it was months ago. Time just keeps escalating. In fact, I'm convinced that every year there's a little bit more nitrous oxide in our fuel mix, and we just move faster and faster and faster. You know, everybody told me that when I was younger, and I never really believed them. Start believing. Time seems to move faster and faster the older we get. In fact, it's almost mind-blowing to me to think about how fast this last year has gone. And I know I'm not alone when I say sometimes it's hard to keep up with the speed that we seem to be cruising along at. It seems to be difficult to stay at that tempo sometimes, doesn't it? Well, guess what? We set that speed. Nobody else is setting it for you. You set it for you. I set it for me. So when we feel like we're spinning our wheels or going a little too fast or hurrying a little bit more than we should, maybe we need to remember that we are in control of that accelerator. We are in control of that little cruise control button we seem to push every now and again. And perhaps we need to just back off just a touch sometimes. Believe it or not, it's been almost 3 years ago that we unknowingly were headed for one of the fastest slowdowns any of us have ever experienced in our life. Though it was a few months old at the time, in March of 2020, COVID-19 was this proclaimed massive pandemic and problem for not just us, not just our state or our city or our, but the world was dealing with this massive problem. Shortly thereafter, out of great, great concern for people, some undesirable but necessary steps were taken to prevent the further spread of illness or disease. Some things were put in place that made us slow down even more, including some directions to isolate, to refrain from social gatherings, and all of it was done to help stop that spread, to help protect others, to keep people safe. For some of us, it meant some incredibly drastic changes in our normal lifestyles, or what we considered to be normal at that point. We no longer went to the office. We no longer went to school. We no longer went to parties. We no longer had these gatherings. We didn't go do these things. Instead, they all came to us. They found their way into our homes, into our living rooms, into our lives. We quickly learned what it meant to educate remotely, to work remotely, for us even to do church remotely. I'll never forget the first Sunday morning that I preached a message from my living room. It seemed very strange to me. I watched Pastor Brian lead us in worship. We took a quick break, and then I came on from our living room to share the message with everybody. And it was such a strange thing, but in my opinion, a very necessary thing at the time to learn how to do that. We continue to live cast today. Welcome everybody who's viewing by live cast. It's another avenue for getting the word out, for getting the message of God out. But back then, socialization became different. It was done at this distance. And suddenly, our calendars were clear. All these things we had planned, all these markings we had all over the calendar were suddenly just cleaned off. We have at home, we have this electronic board hanging in our kitchen. It's called a DAC board, D-A-K. And you can put your calendar up there. Google Calendar will display right on this board in our kitchen. So we can just look up and it tells us what's coming each day, each week, whatever. And we went from having all this stuff on our DAC board to not having much anything on our deck board. It was pretty clear. We didn't have to run here or run there. We had suddenly all this time to do more things that were important to do. I suddenly had more time to work around the house and to get that to-do list down to about 8 pages instead of 47 pages. We had more time to spend with our spouse, more time to spend with our kids. We had all this extra time because life slowed down for a little bit and we got to smell the roses, as the old saying goes. Today, 3 years later, January 1st, 2023, dare I say we're working really hard to ramp back up to that pre-pandemic nitrous oxide boosted pace in life, aren't we? Look around. Look at your calendar. Look at your schedule. Look at what you did then and what you're doing now. And I can guarantee you we are ramping back up for this crazy pace, which I'm not sure is a really good thing, folks. I'm not sure that's exactly what we should be doing. In fact, I want to jog our memories just a little bit by asking us some of the things that we learned during that forced time of slowdown. Not only are we going to look at maybe what we learned just a little bit, but what else can we learn from that time of being a little bit more quiet, being a little bit more cautious, not running so stinking fast in our lives? To start with, do we remember probably, I'm going to say, one of the single biggest things that we learned or gained during that time of slowdown? It was just that. The idea of slowing down. Think about it. Jog your memory. How nice was it to have time for fill in the blank? Time for this. Time for that. Time for things that you didn't have time for, you didn't take time for, however it looks in your life. There was some very positive things there that we could gain from that slowdown. Not to mention the fact that it removed some of the stress from going, 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 going all the time. Believe it or not, we were never designed to go 24/7, 365. God designed our bodies to have a time of rest. God didn't design us to go and go and go and go. We are supposed to have some downtime. In fact, I recall many people talking about how great it was that they had more time to spend in the Word of God. They had more time to spend in prayer. In fact, a few people were willing to admit now they actually had time to pray. Or they had time to read the Word of God, because they didn't do that before. But now, suddenly, they had all this extra time to do it. See, that mandatory slowdown provided some great potential for us. Now, whether or not we took advantage of that potential, that lied in our own hands. Some of us did, some of us didn't. The bottom line is there was an option there. There was a possibility there. We could spend a little less time worrying about all the stuff around us and a little bit more time developing relationships, family relationships, spousal relationships, or perhaps more importantly, our relationship with the Lord. We had that additional time. I would hope that whatever relational improvements we made back then are still in play today. they're still a part of our lives today. But I know that's not true for everybody. Because again, we've slid back in to that quick, fast, move it along pace of life. And we've sacrificed some of those more important things. But for some of us, we gained ground and we've maintained that ground that we've gained. And that's a good thing. If we're one of those that have slipped back into that old way of doing things, I encourage you today, January 1st, brand new year, maybe stop for a minute this afternoon and reprioritize once again. Look at that calendar once again. Maybe cross off the things that aren't quite so important once again. And remember what it means to take that little extra time as we kickstart this new year. See, I guarantee you, folks, if we learn to put God first, all that other stuff will fall into place. We won't have to worry about B through Z if we get A right. And A is spending that time with God, putting Him first. That brings me to the first scripture I want to share to you on January 1st, 2023. First thing we're going to talk about this year, and it's a scripture that most of us can quote, at least in some part. Do we always apply it the way we should? Do we always take it for what it is? That's a whole other discussion. But certainly we know or are familiar with the text. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. I think it's fair to say we know that, isn't it? Have we ever stopped at any time in the last 3 years to think that the pandemic and everything involved in the pandemic could have been good for us? I think it's fair to say for a majority of us, we have never even considered that. We've never thought about how all that came about in 2020 could have been good for you or I. We saw it as a hassle. We saw it as a struggle. We saw it as a point of contention. We saw it as division. But did we ever see it as good? Did we ever look at it from that perspective? In this chapter in the book of Romans, Paul wrote to encourage people to look past their worldly issues. And he was encouraging them, trying to redirect them to focus on what really matters. I want you to listen to a couple of other verses that come from this same chapter in Scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 says this, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Or verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Those things came before this scripture about things being good, didn't it? It's a few verses later before we read about God working things together for our good. 9 times out of 10, people get this whole thing backwards. God never said everything in life will be good. He didn't say that. Romans 8:28 doesn't say that. That's not remotely what we should be focused in on. Nowhere does it say everything will be good. It says God works for the good of those who love Him. No matter what might come in life, God works for our good, for your good, for my good. Now, let's be totally honest. When things aren't going well, when we're in the valley, that's not the scripture we want to think about. We just want it to be good. Not focus on what God might be doing in this valley to bring about good. But simply put, God brings about good from every situation in our lives, no matter how we might view it. What we see with our physical eyes, what we experience in our flesh, what we are consumed with, doesn't really matter. God can still and will still bring about good through that situation. As we just said a moment ago, the pandemic and that shutdown and everything that came with it, whether we like it or not, had some good opportunities for us, had some good things result because of that. Did we choose to see the good things that God was doing in that? Or did we get hung up on all those other things? You're not going to like me this morning, but did we get hung up on that stupid little face covering? Did we get hung up on this, that, or the next thing? Or did we focus in on what good is God going to bring about through all of this? Whether I'm happy or not, whether I like what's been done or pushed or talked about or not, what good is God going to bring in all of this? Because God works for the good of those that love Him. You know, a pandemic is one simple example. We can apply that to anything in our lives. Anything can be looked at through this what good is God going to bring out of it lens, if we'll take the time to do that. So do we choose to seek good and find what God is doing? Do we choose to trust Him to fulfill His promises and do all those things that He has claimed He will do, no matter what the circumstances around us might be like? What do? Where's our focus? What is our heart's desire? You know, ultimately, and again, I'm not sure we talk about this enough. I'm not sure we think about this enough. I'm not sure we focus on this enough. But ultimately, the greatest good any of us can ever possibly receive is eternity with our Father. That's truly the greatest good. And again, forgive me, but guess what? The only way we get to that greatest good of eternity is by leaving this worldly life behind. That's the only way we get there. But that is the greatest good. If we allow the trials and challenges to help us mature in our walk, if our mind and heart is set on doing God's will no matter what, then maybe we'll see a little bit more those good things that God does in every single situation of life. I have another example for you this morning. Many of you here know Linda Whatley. You know the illness that Linda is dealing with right now and walking through. And when Linda first shared that with me, when she first told me that she was sick, one of the things that she said to me was actually a tremendous example of this text. It's an incredible vision of what we're talking about here. She said, and I don't have it word for word, but something to this effect. She said, "I didn't choose to be sick, but I am willing to let God use me during this time for His good and His purpose. I didn't choose to be sick, but I'm willing to let God use me for His good and His purpose. I mean, that's it right there, folks. That's what we're talking about. No one likes to be sick, especially from a terminal standpoint, which truly is what Linda is dealing with. But her mindset is that I'm going to look at what God has for me through all of this. What good is going to come from all of this outside her eternal dwelling with her Father? What other good is God going to bring about through this? And guess what? He's already done some amazing things. Perhaps you know this, perhaps you don't. But God is using her to minister to other people that she never had the chance to reach before. To speak to people she never had the chance to speak with before. People are coming up to her and saying, through all of this, how can you be this happy? How can you be this positive in your outlook? How can you deal with things the way you're dealing with them? God is bringing good about through all of this. Despite her sickness, God is using her for good. God is ministering to other lives and touching other people. Let's take that whole thought, let's take this whole idea of what we've been talking about and look at another little set of scripture for this new year. This is also a scripture that we like to think about, we like to talk about, but many times we misapply it. Many times we don't think all the way or read all the way through it. We want it to mean something different than exactly what it does mean. Or we like to hold tight to the first part of the text and not go on reading the rest of the text. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles or your digital scripture, go back to the Old Testament for a minute this morning. We're going to go back to Jeremiah chapter 29. Listen as I read a little bit from Jeremiah 29, starting at verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now, most of the time, that's where everybody stops. Reading, quoting, thinking, everything pauses right there. But it goes on. It says, and you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Not only do we tend to just read verse 11 and expect everything in our Christian life to be good and prosperous, we don't even take the time to understand the content or the situation as a whole through some of this text. I'm going to talk about that a little bit, but before we jump into there, there's something else I want to say real quick here this morning. I'm not going to dwell on this, but it should make sense to us as we go through it. This scripture is not, N-O-T, exclamation point, not saying that you, that we, that I will be prosperous in everything that we do. This is not saying that at all. There are some that will cling to this scripture and other scriptures claiming that every believer should be physically, emotionally, mentally, materially prosperous at all times. Folks, that is an absolute lie. That is not what this text says. And those that teach that are false teachers. If we take a few moments to just do a real quick overview about this text, we will find something interesting in the part of history when this scripture was first shared, maybe even a little shocking to some of us. But when these words were spoken, God's people were being punished. God's people were being taken away. They were being dragged from their homeland and taken into captivity in Babylon. That doesn't quite sound like prosperous to me. But look at this situation that they are in. Not only are they being pulled out of their homeland, taken into captivity, God tells them something here. He says, get comfortable there. Get comfortable in your captivity. Verse 5 says, build houses, settle down, plant gardens, and eat what you produce. Marry and have your sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. He's saying, get comfortable. You're going to be here a while in a situation that they don't really want to be in. Interesting, isn't it? God promises to work things out for good, and He has plans to prosper us. And yet clearly here, the Israelites were dealing with some difficult stuff. Everything wasn't just roses and cotton candy and excitement. There was difficulty. Let me assure you this morning, the problem is not with God's word. The problem is with our perspective. We don't see things the way we're supposed to see them. In addition to getting comfortable in their new situation, God also says, be at peace with the enemy around you. In fact, He says, you need to work to make things better for your enemy. Verse 7, seek the peace and prosperity of the city in which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. How many times is that the first thing on our minds? I'm ready to admit it's not at the top of my list of things to pray for. We have yet to really get into the verse that we all want to cling to, that we all want to hold on to, and God has already said, get comfortable, you're going to be here a while. Make things better for your enemies, because that's what you need to do. And we haven't got to the part about things being good for us yet. Work to make things better for those around you. Hold on to this time, because it's going to take a while. But then God also says, when the time is right, I will fill my plans for you, and I will bring you home. He makes them that promise. Verse 10 says, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. He doesn't say you're going to be there forever, but you are going to be there for a time. And when that time is right, I will take you and I will put you back to where you want to be, but it's in my time frame. Till then, do what you need to do to be at peace with your neighbors. Do what you need to do to make things better in the situation that you have found yourself in. Then my promise to you will be fulfilled. Then you will find the favor that I have promised to you. Then we get to the verse that we all want to hang on to so tightly. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I do want to look quickly at the last part of that verse. Plans to give you hope and a future. We have our thoughts, we have our desires of what we want that to mean. We want our physical life here on earth to be grand, to be wonderful, to be full of joy and all this excitement stuff. We want this life to just simply be awesome. But remember, God thinks a little different than we think. These words were spoken by the prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Can you guess what God's plan for a hope and a future we're really all about? Jesus. Hope and a future for any of us is all about Jesus. Even those Israelites who were dragged away into Babylon, think about it. Just finishing up their time in captivity and going back to Jerusalem isn't the hope or the great future that God was talking about. The only real hope and incredibly exquisite future comes through Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's hope. That's an exciting future. And we're not done yet. The text goes on to say something else. Something else we need to understand. It says, remember, I said we stop reading too soon sometimes because verse 13 is incredibly, incredibly important in all of this. It says, you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. And hear this part, folks. You will seek me and find me when you do it with your head on the pillow falling asleep at night. When you walk down the hallway and say, oh yeah, Lord, yeah, thank you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. What does it say about finding him? It happens when we seek him with all of our heart. All of our heart. The following verse even says that after you seek me with all of your heart, then I will bring you back from captivity. And if we read through this, there's so much more than just saying that God has great plans for us and he's going to make everything in our lives good. Scripture is incredibly precious. Understanding Scripture is precious. Scripture is true and it is absolutely reliable. Man's feeble attempt to claim some things from Scripture is absurd and ridiculous. We need to take the text for what it is. Because if we start putting our own twist on it, it simply becomes misleading and destructive. And we cannot allow that in our lives. Today is day one of a brand new year. A year, quite honestly, in which we have absolutely no idea what is going to unfold. We have 364 more days of I don't know. Of what might happen. Of what could be. Might something occur that makes this year more like 2020 was? Maybe. Maybe. Maybe globally, maybe locally, maybe personally. I don't know. That could lie out there. Or it might not. None of us know. My question this morning, or my point this morning is, will we allow this year to be good by seeking what God wants to do in and through our lives, no matter what we deal with this year? No matter what the days, weeks, and months bring about. Yes, like all of you, I want life to be good. Yes, I want this life to be easy and simple. I don't want to have any problems or anything else, but that's not necessarily what lies ahead for us. I do have a choice to make, whether or not I will look for the good or dwell on the bad. The only way we will ever learn to cling to what is truly good, folks, is the only way we're going to learn to gain that great, prosperous, good year that we so desire is to complete Scripture, to follow what the text says, and to seek God with all of our heart. Go back to, continue reading the Word, praying, spending time with our Father every single day, and looking at what He is doing in our lives. Then our year, no matter the circumstances, has a chance to be good. So will this new year be a good new year? Truly, in many ways, depends on you. Depends on me. Depends on our attitude, our perspective, and what we seek this new year. Lord, I pray that you would help us to stay focused in on you, Father God. Lord, I admit life is tough. We deal with things we don't want to deal with. We have heartache and struggle and times of disappointment. And none of us really want to deal with that, Lord. And yet your word tells us that through all of that, you work for the good of those that love you and are called according to your purpose. Lord, I know there is good you want to bring about in my life. I know there's good you want to bring about in all of our lives. And I pray, God, that our eyes would be fixed and focused on you so that we can begin to see that good. And Lord, I truly do pray, again, starting with me, Lord, that we would learn to seek you with all of our heart, so that we can walk in those promises, so that we can trust in those promises, so that we can remain full of hope, so that we can be directed by you and see all the good that you have in store for us. And I ask these things in Jesus' name.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, He is my song. You are good. Good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh. Lord bless you and keep you, and may His face shine.